Hey friends, welcome to The Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. We're continuing our journey through Advent, moving closer and closer to the manger. Earlier this week, we looked at the lineage of this coming king, that he would be of David's line, born in a humble town of Bethlehem, and called out of Egypt. Today, I want us to pause and ask a fundamental question. Who is this Messiah? Not just historically, but personally. What is his character? What does he bring to the table of our often messy, chaotic, and sometimes disordered lives? To answer that, we have to go back about 700 years before the birth of Jesus to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, who was writing to a people walking in darkness, people who were desperate for a leader who wouldn't fail them. And in that darkness, God gave them a promise. Let's read that together. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. There is so much richness here. First, notice the humanity. A child is born. This isn't a distant deity shouting commands from the clouds. This is God becoming vulnerable. He enters into our world small, fragile, and dependent. He gets down into the dust of our reality. But then look at his authority. The government shall be on his shoulder. In the ancient world, keys or heavy robes were placed on the shoulders of leaders to symbolize the weight of their rule. But earthly leaders, they stumble under that weight. Regimes rise and fall, policies change, but Isaiah uses a specific Hebrew concept here when he speaks of the king's rule. The root word implies something that abides or remains. That the king doesn't just come to visit, he comes to stay. His dominion isn't an election cycle, it's an eternal reality. And then Isaiah gives us four names. Right? These aren't just titles. They are descriptions. They're descriptions of what God is ultimately up to. First, Wonderful Counselor. Think about how much conflicting advice we receive daily. Like the world shouts that we have to live a certain way, how to spend, how we can be happy. It's noisy and often contradictory. But Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor, which implies a supernatural wisdom. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows you, your wiring, your hidden struggles, your potential, better than you know yourself. He offers guidance that doesn't just fix a temporary problem, but heals the root of the issue. Second, he is the Mighty God. In Hebrew, it's the El Gibor. This means that he is the hero God. We often feel overwhelmed by life, don't we? Like we feel small against the giants of anxiety, financial stress, or grief. But the baby in the manger is the God who created the cosmos. He is greater than your fatigue. He is stronger than your addiction. He is the warrior who fights for his people. Isaiah also calls him the Everlasting Father. Now, we know Jesus is the Son in the Trinity, but this title describes his relationship to us. He possesses a fatherly heart. He is the protector, the provider. In a world where people are often treated as commodities or numbers, he treats us as beloved children. He is Emmanuel, the God with us, ultimately involved and intimately involved in the details of our lives, calling us by name. Finally, Isaiah says he is the Prince of Peace. The Hebrew phrase is the Sar Shalom. This is perhaps the one we long for the most. The biblical peace, shalom, though, isn't just the absence of war or conflict. It's not just a quiet room. It's the presence of wholeness. It's the restoration of everything that is broken. It's the putting back together of the pieces of our lives. Jesus brings a peace that settles the civil war within our own hearts and minds, the guilt, the shame, the striving. He is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. And Isaiah promised that the increase of this government and this peace, there will be no end. When Jesus arrived, he inaugurated this kingdom, he planted the seed, and one day, as we read in the book of Revelation, he will return to finish the job, making all things right and all things new. So, how do we respond to a text this heavy and rich and this hopeful? We pray it up. First, I want to challenge us to pray for our world and our leadership. We live in polarized times. It's easy to become cynical or partisan, but the text reminds us that the true government rests on his shoulders. So let's pray that our leaders, local, national, global, would perhaps without even realizing it, be guided by his hand. Pray that they would act with justice and mercy. But more importantly, let's pray that as the church, we would remember where our true citizenship lies. Take a moment right now. What is the heavy weight on your shoulders today? Let's pray. If you are feeling confused or at a crossroads, pray to the wonderful counselor. Ask him for wisdom that goes beyond logic. You might even say, Lord, I know what to do, but my eyes are on you and I need your help. If you're exhausted and feel like you can't take another step, pray to the mighty God. Admit your weakness. There is no shame in being unable to carry it all. You weren't designed to. Ask for his strength to be made perfect in your weakness. If you feel lonely or unseen, pray to the everlasting Father. Remind yourself of his proximity. He is not distant. He is right there in the car, in the kitchen, in the office with you. If your heart is anxious, racing with what ifs, pray to the Prince of Peace. Ask him to bring that shalom into your mind. And if you're listening today and you realize you've never truly surrendered to this king, if you've kept him at arm's length, maybe today is the day you stop fighting and you simply say, Jesus, be my Lord, be my counselor, be my peace. Finally, friends, let's live this out. This theology isn't meant to stay in our headphones or through our speakers. It's meant to walk out into the real world. We are the carriers of this message. Think about the chain of custody here. Isaiah foretold it. The angels sing it. John the Baptist prepared the way. The apostles gave their lives for it. And now the baton is in your hand. This week, you are going to interact with people who are desperate for a wonderful counselor, though they might just call it needing advice. You'll meet people longing for peace, though they might just call it stress relief. You have the answer. You know the source. I want to challenge you to be a signpost of this coming kingdom today. Maybe that means offering a word of supernatural encouragement to a coworker. Maybe it means refusing to engage in divisive arguments because you serve the Prince of Peace. And practically, as we approach Christmas, this is the perfect time to invite someone into the story. Invite them to one of our Advent services, our Christmas services, or our Christmas Eve service. Not as a sales pitch, but as an act of hospitality. Say to them, I found a place where there's hope, and I'd love for you to sit with me there. Let's be a people who don't just consume the good news, but who embody it. Friends, thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.